Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 17 years now. We have been bringing these messages to you, and we hope you have appreciated them, and we hope you have learned something and been blessed by listening to them. Today we have part three in a series that we have been studying about demonic oppression and demonic possession. And so this is a timely message in light of current events here in America with all the shootings and discussions about mental health and mental illness regarding gun violence. And so this is going to be a timely message today. We're going to be talking more about demonic possession and then go into spiritual warfare and the gospel armor. And so stay tuned for this message. You want to stay tuned to the very end. We'll take up this message in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your son, Jesus, most of all, for the death that he died, the blood that he shed, for the blessing and the salvation that he is for us. And Father, we pray for each and every person out there listening today, those that have mental health issues, those that have physical issues, pain in their body, infirmity in their mind, their body, their soul. Father, we thank you that you are the healer. Jehovah Rapha is one of your names. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We praise your name that you can heal us, and we look to you in every situation. Father, we pray for those that have cancers in their body and COVID virus still and all kinds of nagging, debilitating injuries. Father, we pray for those who have been in auto accidents, and we pray for those who are victims of the shootings down there in Texas. Lord, we ask you to send your angels to heal them and to comfort them, those that have lost loved ones. And Lord, we know that you love every single person all over the earth. We thank you that you're a loving God, and you allow us to choose you. You allow us to come to you. You allow us to have a relationship with your son, Jesus. And so we praise you for that, Father. We thank you for that. It gives us peace in every situation, peace that passes all understanding. So we thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless this message and those receiving it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about demonic oppression and demonic possession today. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 10, we're going to start with the classic definition of demonic oppression. And so we're going to take up this message in just a minute. But first, I want to give you an update of what's going on over in Kenya. And we're in the time break for the midterm break, they call it, for the children in their schools. Children are going to be home for just a short time. And so we have about 30 children in our children's home. Been having a great children's fun day every other Saturday, not only for our children, but for the village children. We've been having about 150 children every other Saturday come in. We feed them a great meal, but beyond that, we teach them Bible stories, teach them about Jesus and things in the Bible. And many of these children are from Muslim background, and so it's an opportunity to evangelize children that we never get an opportunity to talk to. And then we play games, play soccer, play football, road races, and then we have a great meal, and the children don't even want to go home. Last few times have been staying till 5 o'clock at night, so that's a great evangelism outreach. And we also have a great church going there, Living Water Church of Makunda. Have 80 adult members, about 50 children come every Sunday. And so that's a great opportunity to witness to the people there in Makunda Village and to pastor them, shepherd them, and raise them up and disciple them. Also, this summer, we're looking to bring a team of Kenyans back over to the U.S. Hopefully, we can get visas to bring them over and give them some training in the Encountering God conferences here in the U.S. And so that's on the schedule for this summer. In addition to that, we're praying about building a school over there. We want to build a good Christian school. There's about 2.5 acres of land for sale in between the church and the children's home. And so we want to get that piece of land, or actually it's 2 pieces of land. We want to get those 2 pieces of land and get them ready and prepared to build a school there. And by the grace of God, we'll get it built. A primary school will have about 100 students or so, 150 students, and we'll have grades 1 through 8 for starters. And so we want to do that, and by the grace of God, we'll get it done. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast, and we'll get you contact information. If any of these projects appeal to you, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, let us know, and we can accommodate anything that you'd like to see happen in regards to your giving. If you want to do it on a monthly auto-draw basis, or write a check, or by PayPal with your credit card, any of these ways, we can accommodate your giving. Okay, today we're going to be talking about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 in Ephesians, and this is the classic scripture regarding spiritual warfare, and of course that appeals to everyone because we all have warfare. If you're a believer, you have warfare for sure, because the devil wants to take you out of your God-given destiny. And even if you're an unbeliever, you have warfare because God is wooing you. The Holy Spirit is wooing you. And so you have warfare no matter which side of the fence you're on. And so Paul addresses this in chapter 6, the book of Ephesians, verse 10. And he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil," or the schemes of the evil one. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil," or the spiritual forces of wickedness, King James says, "the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." And so this is a powerful scripture. There's a lot to unpack here. Paul names 4 different levels of demonic entities, and this is a hierarchy of Satan's kingdom. This is a hierarchy how Satan organizes his kingdom. And just as the Lord God has an organized kingdom with the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and the cherubim, the seraphim, the angels, so too the devil has his kingdom, and it is highly organized, it is highly efficient, and it's down to the last demon that can harass and torment you. And that is the way the devil then covers the whole earth with his demonic schemes. And Paul talks about the schemes of the evil one. The schemes of the evil one are such that the devil is always scheming to get ahead of you and to destroy you and to destroy your God-given destiny. And so we have powers, we have principalities, we have rulers of darkness, and we have spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so these demonic creatures hang out in the heavenly places, in the second heaven. They're not in the throne room with God. The devil was thrown down out of heaven. Revelation chapter 12 talks about that, how the devil was thrown down out of heaven, and a third of the angels went with him. A third of the rebellious angels were thrown out with him, and so that makes up the demonic horde that torments us and oppresses us and possesses us. That demonic horde, their sole mission is to destroy the kingdom of God. They tried to destroy Jesus on the cross, but he overcame death and exposed them. but their sole mission is to destroy us and to take us out of our God-given destiny and to torment us into mental health issues, mental disorders, physical health issues, and physical disorders. And all of this stuff is a work of the devil, and he takes pride and he takes glory in taking people away from their God-given destiny. Well, we talked last week about the demoniac in Mark chapter 5. If you didn't hear the message last week, go to Mark chapter 5, read that story about the demoniac. He was living in the Gadarenes among the tombs, and he was crying out. He was bound with chains, but he broke the chains, and he was very psychotic. He was very unsocial, could not habitate with other people, could not habitate in a normal social setting, and so he was just living in the tombs. And we have people like that here in America, and people like that in Kenya. We have people like that in Kenya walking up and down the streets, and they're just muttering and sputtering all day long, and some are violent, some are not. I tried to pray for a man like that a couple of years ago. And the first couple of times I saw him, he allowed me to pray for him. And then the last time that I tried to pray for him, he lashed out at me and tried to hit me and just about broke my arm. He did hit me and just about broke my arm. And so these people can be very violent. They have the strength of the devil when they lash out, when they get physically violent. And so these people have their minds that have been taken over by the enemy, and so they become a psychotic, what we would call psychotic, or behavior that would not allow them to integrate into society. And Jesus approached this man, and he said, "What have I to do with you, Son of the Most High God?" And so he recognized Jesus, and he recognized him as the Son of God, because these demons were in heaven. These spiritual beings were in heaven at one point in time, and they knew Jesus. They knew Father God. They were created by him, and so they have a recognition of Jesus Christ. And so if you have the Holy Spirit with you, they have a recognition of you. These demonic beings recognize the Holy Spirit of God in you and with you, that abides with you. And so when you come in the presence of demons as a believer, as one who is born again, these demonic entities will get agitated. They will not have peace. They will not be settled. They will try to attack you in some way. They will try to scheme and attack you in some way. And so you can understand that as a believer, your warfare starts with these entities, with these spirits, the moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the moment that you commit your life to him, then your battle with these entities starts. Well, I'm going to take a look at a person who was demonically possessed. First, he was oppressed, then he was possessed, and this person is very familiar to us in the Bible. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 1, it talks about this person. His name is Judas, and he walked with Jesus as one of the 12 disciples who was close to Jesus, or the 12 apostles, we would call them. And it says in Luke 22, verse 1, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people." In other words, the chief priests and the scribes feared the people that would maybe revolt against them, or have a backlash against them. And it says, "Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. Well, so Satan then entered into Judas. Well, prior to that time when Satan entered into Judas, Satan was oppressing Judas, and it came this way. The oppression came through the fact that Judas was a thief. John 12, verse 3, it says, "Mary took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was to betray him, said, 'Why was this anointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And so Judas the thief, he started out as an appointed apostle, one of the 12 who walked closely with Jesus and was being discipled by Jesus himself. So he saw Jesus, the Son of God, up close, was with him every day for 3.5 years. And he was given charge of the money bag, and so he started to steal. Beloved, this is how demonic oppression then gives over to demonic possession. When you have unrepentant sin in your life and you give in to some temptation, whether it's to steal, whether it's to be a repetitive liar, whether it's fornication, adultery, whatever kind of sin you allow to go unchecked and unrepentant in your life, then that sin starts to take over. You become demonically oppressed. The devils are driving your behavior. The demons are driving your behavior. They control your thought life, and your thought life becomes corrupt. Your thought life becomes defiled. Your soul becomes defiled, and your behavior then starts to become demonic behavior. And that really describes drug addiction. It describes alcohol addiction. It describes adultery, fornication, sex addiction. Then when you act in that behavior for a certain period of time, if you don't get help, if you don't repent, if you don't turn from your wicked ways and cry out to the Lord and get help from the Lord, and you just continue in that unrepentant, sinful behavior, then you can become demonically possessed. And that's what happens with these people who have these postings on social media. They start talking about killing people. They start talking about mass shooting, and some of them actually pick up a gun. We saw this recently in the shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Some of them actually pick up a gun. Then they act out what they've been thinking, what they've been plotting, what the devil has been encouraging them to do, and they are demonically possessed at that point. They go in and start shooting people with no regard for life, with no regard for the age, and it's just a random act of violence, a random act of destruction. The devil always demands blood and a blood sacrifice. And so when a person gives in to the demonic impulses and the demonic control of his mind, then the blood sacrifice must come. And so that was the case with Judas. Well, in the case with many of these school shooters, many of these people who do mass shootings, they usually end up killing themselves or suicide by cop. In other words, they present themselves to the police so that the police can shoot them and kill them. It's another way to commit suicide. And so many people end up doing that. And in Judas's case, he went out and hung himself because he realized that he had come against the child of God. He realized he'd come against Jesus Christ, and he could not reconcile his behavior with what his spirit knew to be the truth, that he had betrayed the Son of the living God. And so this is the typical behavior of people that are demon-possessed. They want to destroy other people. They want to destroy themselves. And so in light of that, we see that Jesus, then going back to the demoniac in Mark chapter 5, Jesus delivers this man. He said, "Come out of this man." He spoke to the demons in him, and he said, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." And so those demons came out. They went rushing into the pigs that were nearby. The pigs were drowned, but the demons lived on, went in to look for another home. And that is the nature of demons. They have to be in someone. They don't like hanging out outside of people. Their target is people. Their habitation is people. Or after the pigs were drowned, then these demons went to look for another home. Well, how do we control our thought life? How do we control demonic oppression and demonic possession? How do we control that? Well, 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 5, gives us a clue on how all this starts and how we can control it, how we can discipline ourselves to keep the devil out of our life. In verse 5, it says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." And so it starts in the mind. The thoughts that come into your mind, you have to learn to discipline yourself to take these thoughts captive. And when the devil, he can put thoughts in your mind, and what you see and what you're looking at on the internet, what you're looking at on your smartphone, what you're looking at in your quiet time or time when you're away from other people, these then become thoughts that the devil puts into your mind. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, says we have to destroy arguments and every lofty opinion, or every lofty thought, you could say, raised up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So you can't have a lazy mind and just let any thought take up habitation in your mind. You can't have lazy thoughts and just let this demonic train of thoughts take up residency in your mind, because when you start to dwell on demonic thoughts, when you start to dwell on that, then after a while you want to act that out. Then they want to become actions, want to become repetitive behavior, and eventually then people will pick up the gun. Eventually people will act out in a violent way or in a psychotic, unsocial way. And so Paul says we have to take these thoughts captive. And so start to discipline your mind. You can discipline your mind. Our weapons of our warfare, Paul says, they are not carnal, they are not fleshly, but they are mighty in God for tearing down strongholds. And so you have to learn to use these weapons of warfare that have been given to us by God for tearing down strongholds. They've been given to us by God to keep the devil out of your thought life, to keep the devil out of your mind. Maybe you've been struggling with addictions. Maybe you've been struggling with pornography. Maybe you've been struggling with the same things that have been derailing your life and causing you to stumble and separating you from God. You have to learn to discipline your mind. You do that by taking up the weapons that God gives us to destroy the works of the enemy. And these weapons are Bible study. Start to read your Bible every day. Put the thoughts from the Bible, the living Word of God. Jesus is the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Take these thoughts into your mind, into your heart, and incorporate them into your thought life. Memorize Scripture. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live to the glory of Jesus Christ." So start to memorize Scripture, incorporate it into your thought life, and when the devil tries to put thoughts from him into your mind, take those thoughts captive and cast them out. Get rid of them. Get your mind focused back on the Word of God, on the plan that God has for your life, the plan that Jesus Christ has for your life, and you will not let these thoughts then dwell repeatedly in your mind. And then Paul says, after you have taken every thought captive, he said, "Be ready to punish every disobedience." Well, if you don't punish it yourself, beloved, God is going to punish it. God is a God of justice. He's a God of vengeance. And people who do not submit to God with their thought life, with their actions, eventually face the judge. This young boy who caused all this mayhem and chaos and eventually killed himself, or was killed down there in Texas, he is facing his judgment right now. He had to face no court here in the natural realm, the human court. He did not have to face, but beloved, his judgment is being passed on him right now, and the sentence for him is not going to be good. And the sentence for people who reject God and follow their demonic urges, we know that sentence is eternal separation from God and eternity in hell. And beloved, you don't want that. That is not your destiny. That is not what God has planned for you. He did not create hell for humans. He created it for the devil and his angels. And yet those who reject God, those who turn from God and do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord, that will be their eternal abode. And so Paul says, be ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. And so you have to discipline yourself to become a mature person in your walk with the Lord. And a mature doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. There's always going to be sin in our lives, even though they can be small sin as we start to mature. But we can be mature, we can be complete, and we can live a successful life. And that is God's plan for your life. Well, back to Ephesians. In chapter 6, again, the gospel armor, Paul says in verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And so that is the gospel armor there. You can each day when you get up say, Lord, I'm asking you to cover me with the gospel armor. I need your protection today from the thoughts that the devil wants to put into my mind. I need your protection today from the schemes of the evil one. And so if you say that and pray to God every single day, and you say, give me the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, I'm going to have the shield of faith out in front of me on my arm, and I'm going to have the sword of the Spirit in my right hand, and that sword is an offensive weapon. That is the Word of God, and I'm going to speak that Word of God to the devil. I'm going to hide that Word of God in my heart. That is an offensive weapon. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will divide asunder between the bones and the marrow, the soul and the spirit, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so that is the gospel armor. Get up each day and say, Lord, cover me with your gospel armor. Cover my head, cover my heart, cover my organs, my sexual organs, cover my feet. Put the shield of faith out in front of me, because faith goes ahead of us, and the sword of the Spirit in my hand, that I can be ready to take on the devil, whatever he has for me, however he tries to destroy me, however he tries to scheme against me, I will be ready for him, and I can live a life of righteousness, I can live a life of holiness, and I can walk in maturity and in completeness and fulfill my destiny in the Lord. Well, that is spiritual warfare, beloved, and that is the demonic oppression and possession. And God's plan for us is that we walk in glory, we walk in righteousness, we walk in the plan that he has for us, and we can do that when we put on the gospel armor. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We hope you enjoy these messages. Let us know you're listening. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to have you support this ministry with your prayers, with your financial support. And you can do that. If you have any questions or comments about anything, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. And if you'd like to contribute to help our projects in Africa or to keep these radio broadcasts coming, feel free to do that. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.